And now, young widow gone. There is a time in everyone's life which is given over to waiting. No one escapes a vigil of some sort, whether it's for love or hate, anxiety or fear, tragedy or joy. And now, Hope City Hospital, Evan Brown's fiancé, Dr. Anthony Loring, sits waiting. He is in the little reception room off the private floor, his chair facing the elevators at the end of the corridor. Beside him, a table on which is ashtray heaped with ashes bears testimony to a state of mind. With him is Evan's friend, Marion Temple, whose throat is dry, whose tongue seems almost paralyzed as she tries desperately to sense what something to say to him.
Anthony, it just seems much longer to you, really, that's all.
I know, Marion.
Although it's not... I mean, usually it seems so long, like so long right away, don't they?
Don't work so hard, Noreen. It's a good try, but relax.
I want to help you. Because that's the best way of helping one. Helping you. Oh, and anything else?
I don't think I'll ever be the same with an anxious husband or mother or father. I'll never be able to be so detached again.
I wonder if that's good or bad.
What do you mean?
Well, that's just good to have someone detached around you when things aren't yours. That's just better.
On the other hand, if you weren't here, Noreen, if I had someone saying to me, everything's going to be all right, you just have to wait, I might not be so controlled myself, if I am controlled.
Poor Anthony. You know, the person you need is fine.
Well, that's what happens when the person you love is ill. The one with whom you're most sympathetic is the one person you can't turn to.
Tomorrow, Anthony.
Yes,
well, I see no reason in the world why I can't stop by for 2 minutes.
Oh, dear sister, Victoria.
Confound it.
Where? Oh, never mind. I see him. Oh. Anthony, I simply cannot take this kind of treatment anymore.
Oh, good afternoon, Evelyn.
Hello, Victoria.
I brought Ellen some flowers. I know you say she doesn't want to see me, but I can't believe that. I think you're deliberately putting me in mind of Ellen. I think you're...
Well, what's the matter with you, Anthony? You don't look well.
I'm all right, Victoria.
Victoria, Ellen's up in the operating room now. We're waiting here until it's all over.
Ellen's being operated on at this time of day?
The time of day is not important.
Well, I never heard of anybody being operated on at 4 in the afternoon unless something had burst.
I mean, nothing burst, Victoria. Dr. Shaw thought it would be good to get it over with.
Oh. Suppose she knows what she's doing, Anthony.
I'm sure she does, Victoria.
Did I hear someone say that you didn't like the idea of a woman doctor taking care of Ellen?
Did you change your mind?
Do you think she is competent after all?
Victoria,
did you ever think of going into the diplomatic service?
Well, what do you mean, Ellen?
Nothing. Look, have you been to the nursery lately on the third floor? Would you like to see the new babies? They're simply beautiful.
I can't think of anything that would interest me less, Noreen.
Well, I just thought that...
Or are you implying that Anthony doesn't want me around? Is that it, Noreen?
Noreen isn't implying anything, Victoria. She doesn't have to. I'm here to tell you that I don't want you here.
Anthony!
Now, that is not a hint. That is a statement of fact, direct and to the point.
I should say it is, Anthony. And all I can say is that I hope you'll see the day when you wish to put back those words. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Victoria. I'll walk you to the elevator.
Thank you, no. I'm well aware who are my friends in Simpsonville, Noreen. And they're there, too, but you're not among them. Goodbye.
Oh, dear.
Don't worry, Noreen. I can always count on my sister to foul up the situation. To come in with her worries, her hurt feelings. To grab the limelight in some way.
She's really hard, isn't she? Now, the whole world knows she can't abide Ellen. Doesn't she know she can't come in here with those flowers, expecting people to think she's even remotely sincere?
I wouldn't even begin to talk about my sister's mental processes.
No, don't.
However, she acted as a kind of counter-irritant. She made me so angry, I forgot to think of the rest of it.
Perhaps I'd better get someone else here to make you angry. I know. Maybe you see something.
Oh.
I'll call her, Anthony. I'd be delighted.
No, please. I don't want to get that angry. Well, I'll settle down now. I think they should be word at Ellen pretty soon.
But word does not come, and Anthony and Noreen wait, watching the afternoon sun travel listening to the ominous tick of the great clock in the hall. And now Noreen's husband, Herbert Temple, comes up to them saying,
"Oh, Noreen,
what happened? How goes it?"
"I don't know, Herbert.
We're just waiting, Herbert, just getting..."
"Well, you think they can?"
"Yes, of course.
I thought I'd stick around for a bit if you didn't mind, Anthony."
"I think that would be good. I'm not much help to him, Herbert."
"Oh, she is. I've clung to her like a leaf. But take a break, Noreen. Go back home and rest. You'll be the first to call."
"Well, I'll just dash home and check on the children. That's all, then come right back
here." "All right, bring some sandwiches in or something, eh?"
"Well, think of something for the diet kitchen, Herbert, if you're hungry."
"I'll speak to them on the way out. I won't be long."
"Don't rush, darling."
"I've no deal, Anthony."
"Rugged.
Been upstairs?"
No. They've telephoned down occasionally. All very noncommittal. Heart good, so on, so forth."
"Mm-hmm.
But after all, if Ellen's heart weren't good, she'd be dead."
"How are your spirits, Mr. Newton, to the operating room?"
"Excellent. Ellen and I had a good talk, Steve."
"Herbert,
Ellen is more remarkable every time she faces some kind of situation. More wonderful, more, I don't know, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, is that it?"
"Yes, Anthony.
Takes things so well. She has such spiritual discipline.
She's a great girl, let's face it.
My sister was fighting her way into the act just a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
I threw her out. Now, Ellen wouldn't have done that. Ellen would have risen above it. Intolerance and... I don't know. Have you a cigarette?"
"Yes, sir. Let me empty that ashtray for you. What have you been doing? Reading a cigarette?"
"Seems that way."
"Yeah.
Man, this is a day. This is certainly... Wait, I heard the elevator door."
"Good night. Is it?"
"Yes."
"Well... Should you go to her now?"
"No. No, I stand here. I stand here while they take her in. I guess Dr. Shaw will be along pretty soon. That's the routine. We have a word with the relatives. Standers by. Those who wait."
Ellen's room is dark now, the window shades drawn, and Olivia McEvoy, superintendent of nurses, who has chosen to be her special nurse for the night, sits silent and watchful as Anthony takes Ellen's hand.
"Anthony?"
"Yes, Ellen, darling."
"I've been calling you across great canyons. How did you get here?"
"I'd always get here, don't you know that?"
"Yes. But that's a long time. It doesn't."
"It took time, dear."
"I know."
"Don't talk then."
"I was so far away. I traveled so far. I came back.
"Yes."
"I stayed, too. I saw the other side. I wasn't ready. I came back."
"Ellen, darling."
"The children. You. They sit over there. Not yet. You go home."
"Of course. You're needed here."
"Anthony?"
"Yes, darling."
"Just stay now."
"Yes, I'll stay."
"Allison, Dr. Shaw, where is she?"
"Right here, Ellen, darling. She's standing at the door."
"I want to... Grace, tell her, Anthony. Tell her I'm so grateful."
Frayed eyes watch Ellen come up from the Valley of the Shadow. Old ears listen for her heart growing stronger. Will all be well with young Widow Brown?